Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ, good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what. Why? Because our Lord is good, and His mercy is new every morning, and it is from everlasting to everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellen, also known as the Little One. And I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all honor and all praise and all glory and all adoration and worship to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church located in Southfield, Michigan. And I also give recognition and respect to my covering, my supporters and sponsors, and the founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day at your leisure on Breaker, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Odyssey, and many other podcast platforms where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in the little one, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their study tools, all of the things that we use when we get together to study the Word of God on Tuesdays and Thursdays at this time. And we'll be right back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper, all of the things that we use when we get together as a family united in love, a family united by one common denominator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, to study His Word and break open our daily bread for the day. This is truly the day that the Lord has made, a day that we have never seen before in our lifetime. And it is a day that is used and should be used to lift up the name of Jesus and celebrate Him and all that He has done. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace with a word of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time, this moment, this opportunity that You have given unto us to just say thank You, Lord, to have the breath in our bodies, to have the blood running warm in our veins, to have the activity of our limbs. Thank You for keeping us, for You are a keeper, and You are a protector, and You are our lifeline. You are our life. You are the air that we breathe. We breathe You in, and we breathe out all negativity, anything that is not like You. We breathe You in. We breathe in Your peace. We breathe in Your mercy. We breathe in Your grace. We breathe Your essence. You, O God, in us, on us, around us, moving and walking and working through us. For it is in You, Lord Jesus, that we live, And it is in you, Lord Jesus, that we move. And it is only in you, O God, that we have our very being. Father, we ask your blessing on this broadcast on today. For this is your broadcast, O God. It is all of you and none of us on this day. We lift you up. We glorify you. We magnify you. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. We yield ourselves to you, O God. All of our being, our mind, our soul, our body, our emotions, O God, we yield them to you. For you said you will keep him in a perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us your peace. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us your strength. For we don't move in and of ourselves in our own strength. For we move in your strength, Lord Jesus. For it is only through you that we are more than conquerors. And it is only through you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And it is only through you that we are the righteousness of God because of you, Christ Jesus. Lord, look on the listening audience on today, one by one and name by name. No matter what country, no matter what time they're listening, Father, touch, heal, and deliver. Let your personal touch and your spirit and your presence be sensed and felt on them, around them, in them, O God. Answer every prayer, every petition, every secret petition of their heart, O God, according to your will. As your conduits, Lord, we ask that you hide us all behind the cross on this day in everything that we do. Lord, let you be lifted up. Let you be seen. Let you be heard. And let you be glorified in everything that we do on this day. And Father, I ask that you put your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people on this day. And we thank you for our daily bread, your word, which has stood the test of eons of time and will continue to stand the test of eons of time. You are exalted in the earth. You are exalted, O God, in the heavens. You are exalted. And we give you praise and thanks. And we thank you for answered prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be be glorified. Lord, be glorified in the heavens. And be glorified in the earth. Lord, be glorified in this temple, Jesus,
sweet Jesus, be thou glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. We reverence you and we honor you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For the past few study sessions, we have been in James chapter 5. We are continuing our study in James chapter 5. And for the past few study sessions, we were in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, where James, through the Holy Spirit, was talking about the rich. And we began talking about the type of rich that we should be, the type of rich people we should be, and how we should have a humble heart to be able to hear the voice of God in order to know when and what and where to give. And that is so important. Today we will be in James chapter 5, beginning at the 7th verse. And I will be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition, as always. And we'll let's begin at the 7th verse and see how far the Holy Spirit will allow us to go today. We all can follow along in our translations, as we always do when we get together and study the Word of God. Amen. So, beginning in verse 7 of James chapter 5, it says, "So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and the late rains." Let's just stop and look at this verse for a little bit, because in my study time I was looking at this verse, and James is talking about how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. And as I was studying and meditating on this verse, I begin to ask questions about farmers. Because the very beginning of this verse says, be patient. And patience is something that we as the body of Christ must exhibit in all things, with all people, at all times. And I begin to look up different facts about farming. And I have a fact here. It says, how long does the crop take to be ready for harvest? A farmer has to wait anywhere from 105 days to 165 days. Before he can harvest a crop. And then when harvest time comes, harvest times runs from early as mid-September to as late as the end of November. And for each farmer, how long harvest takes depends on how many acres they farm, how many people they have helping out, the size of their equipment, and how many combines and tractors and semis they have running. So just imagine if this there was one farmer and he didn't have many helpers and he didn't have much equipment and he didn't have many people helping, how long must he endure to complete that harvest? James 5 verse 7 says, so be patient, brethren, as you wait. Stop right there, because that not only encompasses the coming of the Lord, it encompasses how we and when we sow seed. And when we talk about sowing seed, we're not talking about just finances. There's time, kindness, there's generosity. There are many different ways to sow seed. And depending on the godly motive and the godly intention that is behind the good seed that we sow will determine how much of a harvest will come back. So the work that we put in to sowing, that work is not for nothing. It's not for naught. James says here through the Holy Spirit, he says, so be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how a farmer waits expectantly. Now, we just read that it takes a farmer anywhere from 105 days to 165 days for him to reap his crop. And the scripture here says the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest. That harvest, the work that he puts in to sow that seed, that harvest is precious to him or her. And he waits expectantly the harvest from the land. And the second half of verse 7 says, see how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and late rains. James chapter 1 verse 4, as we have been studying the book of James, James chapter 1 verse 4 says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Isn't it interesting how a patient person is a person that is at ease? A patient person is a person that is at rest. A patient person is a person that is not flustered. A patient person ultimately trusts. Ultimately trusts in the ultimate one who is able to maintain and take care of all of their needs and all of their requests. Hence why we as the body of Christ must depend on Jesus and full-heartedly, wholeheartedly trust in, rely on, adhere to, and hear, and fellowship with, and commune with, and pray to him on a daily basis. Because as we do those things, it solidifies trust in him. And in our lives, he has proven himself over and over and over again. So not only are we to be patient when we plant seeds of goodness, as scripture says, what a man sows, that shall he also reap. But yet we are to also be patient in waiting for the coming of the Lord, as James chapter 5, verse 7 says. Just think about that for a minute. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land, and see how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and late rains. So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. You know, we've heard it said years and, you know, for years, Jesus is on his way back here. He's on his way back for his church. And we do know that he's coming. But we do not know the time. We do not know the hour. And yet scripture admonishes us to always be ready, to always have our lamps trimmed, as in the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins in Matthew 25. We are to always have our lamps trimmed and filled with oil. And we are always to keep ourselves filled with oil while we wait. For we do not know when the bridegroom will come. So verse 7, it says, so be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and the late rains. Verse 8 says, so you also must be patient. Establish your hearts. Strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near. What does it mean to establish something? James says, establish your heart. Establish your heart in the fact and the truth that Jesus is coming. And he is on his way back here. And in your patience and waiting, be watchful and be always ready. Don't slack off and relax. and think that what has been spoken about the bridegroom is not going to come to pass. I believe scripture says, blessed is he who is found working when his master comes. To establish your heart, to show something to be true or certain, to ground it, to settle it, to put it in place, to arrive at a settled conclusion. Verse 8 says, so you must be patient, establish your hearts, strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty. What final certainty? The final certainty that the coming of the Lord is very near. And we are to work as the farmer works, as he continually sows seed and expects a harvest. In our lifetime, as we sow seeds of generosity and sow seeds that bring glory and honor to God in the lives of others, we are to patiently wait for the harvest. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing what is right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax courage and faint. God wants us to always be watching, always be on guard, always be ready. And how much more should we be ready for our bridegroom? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. The things that we do for Christ is never wasted or to no purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Let the Lord find his body, his bride, his body working. Not working apart from him, but working with him. Working alongside him, working through him. Making the most of the time. Because the days are evil. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint. Don't lose heart. Don't grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing what is right. Don't grow weary and lose heart and faint in the good seeds that you plant in the lives of others with godly intention and godly expectation for the harvest. Because the harvest will come. And it will come when you least expect it. And sometimes God moves quickly and the harvest is immediate. And sometimes God waits. But either way it goes, his timing is not our timing. I believe it says in Psalm 27, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable. Stand on the word of God. Stand on the foundation that has been laid for us, Jesus the Christ, the sure foundation. We have a sure foundation, not just a foundation, but a sure and proven foundation. Be firm, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, always growing, always increasing, always gaining, always multiplying, always increasing in the work of the Lord, always being superior and excelling and doing more than enough. Doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. Not just that'll do, just enough. No, doing more than enough. Why? Because we love him. He does more than enough for us because he loves us. He loves us. And he loved us first. And it is through his love that we are able to love him. Because he first loved us. Which causes us to do more than enough in the service of the Lord. Why? Because we know and are continually aware. It should always be in the forefront of our mind and of our thinking. We should know and be continually aware that our labor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. You know, sometimes we can give a word to someone and it doesn't look like that word has taken root. You may not think a person is listening. When you speak the word, you may not think a person is paying attention. You may not think they are taking your words to heart. But you do not know what is going on the inside of that person. words of life and words of healing and words of comfort and words of encouragement and words of building one another up. You never know how that word will change and is changing the individual that you're speaking to. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. How can we sow? For we all are farmers. And what do we sow? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring him glory. What do we sow in the lives of others to bring glory to God, to make his name known and be pleasing in his sight? Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Scripture also says that 1,000 years is as one day unto the Lord, and one day 1,000 years. And we just discussed how farmers have to wait between 105 and 165 24-hour cycles, days, before they get their harvest. So how long are we to wait for the coming of the Lord? And how are we to be found working when he comes? And how great of a work patience is supposed to have in our lives? A patient person knows how to fare through plenty and knows how to fare through little. And the ebb and flow of life doesn't upset the patient person's constant, continuous stance. They are not affected because they are patient. They are constant. They are balanced. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, this is Paul talking. He says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Ministering servants, not heads of parties, through whom you believed, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but all the while, God, all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. So we sow good things. We sow finances. We sow things that we have in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and we expect nothing in return. Why? Because it is God who gives the increase. He causes it to come. Verse 6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow. And he gave the increase. Verse 7 says, so neither he who plants is anything, he who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow and become greater. And verse 8 says, he who plants and he who waters are equal. One is the same purpose. One in aim of the same importance and the same esteem. Yet each shall receive his own reward and wages according to his own labor. Verse 9 says, for we are fellow workmen. This is what the definition of the body of Christ means. We are fitly joined together, working with one another. For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with God and for God. You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You are God's building. So yes, we are to be patient when we sow as the farmer. How much patience does a farmer have if he has to wait between 105 to 165 days before he can harvest? And how much patience does God have toward us if 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years as unto the Lord? And we know that his coming is near, and we don't know the time or the hour that he's coming, but he is coming. To God be all the glory for the great things he has done. May the Lord continue to bless us. May the Lord continue to keep us. May the Lord continue to make his beautiful face shine upon us. May the Lord continue to be gracious unto us. And may the Lord continue to lift his countenance and turn his face toward us. And may the Lord continue to give all of us his peace, himself. In Jesus' name we pray. The one who filleth us all with his fullness. Amen. Until we meet again, this is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, saying good God day to you. Be blessed.